We've done some advertising, and this is supposed to be Building Campaign Sunday, but I don't have the heart to talk about money. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. And we'll talk about it. We'll get through Easter, and we'll have another Building Campaign Sunday. And we'll be okay. We'll be okay. You know, let me read to you from Psalm 23. I didn't come planning to preach on Psalm 23 today. But let's talk about Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is one of the greatest passages in the Bible. And Christians have taken solace in looking at this passage in difficult times. When things got heavy, when things got trying, when loved ones passed away, when finances were failing, people have turned to the Psalm 23. And I think one of the reasons people turn to this psalm at times even like this is because there's comfort in it. There's comfort in it. It's written by a man named David. And King David was a guy who knew what it was like to be on the mountaintop and in the valley. He was a man who knew what it was like to have great victories. He knew what it was like to be a national hero. He knew what it was like to have women line the streets and hope that he caught a glimpse of them. He knew what it was like to have ultimate power. He knew what it was like to sit in the seat of all authority and no one could touch him. He knew what it was like to win great military battles. He knew what it was like to ride victoriously at the front of an army. He knew what it was like to be on the mountaintop. He knew what it was like to be in the valley. He knew what it was like to be rejected of his brothers. He knew what it was like to be scorned at. He knew what it was like to be underestimated. He knew what it was like to sin and to face the discipline of God harshly. He knew what it was like to hold a baby in his arms that was dead. And the reason that baby died had a lot to do with how he had lived. Talk about a valley. I don't know what could be deeper than that. He knew what it was like to love a son, have that son rebel against him, have that son try to kill him, and then have that son be killed, Absalom, and sit in his room and grieve and wish that it had been him that died instead of the son. And he knew what it was like to face terrible places. He knew what it was like to hit the deepest, darkest places in life. And that comes out in this psalm. This psalm, I don't think, is written in the early years of his life. There's too much living in this psalm. I don't think it was written in the high places. I think perhaps near the end of his life, he was sitting there and he was remembering what life was like for him. And he was going through the mental picture book. And he perhaps is sitting in his palace, and as he's thinking about how life had gone for him, he looks out the window and he sees a young boy leading sheep across the hillside. And he remembers that that used to be him. And maybe that begins to jog the memory, and he says, you know, to himself, I used to be a shepherd. But then as he thought about his walk with God, he said, but you know, God's been my shepherd. I mean, I've led sheep, but really that's a parable of my life. I've been the sheep and God has been leading me. So he begins with this great affirmation. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord's been my shepherd. And then he says immediately, the Lord is my shepherd and I haven't wanted. I shall not want. Notice that. He's been a good shepherd to me. I haven't always been a good sheep. I haven't always followed him as I should. I've disappointed him in 100 different ways, but he's been faithful to me. The Lord has done that for me, David says. You say, well, David, how has he done that? You say, you haven't wanted. He's cared for your needs. How has he cared for those needs, David? David says, well, one thing he's done is he's given me rest. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, David says. He's been there. There have been times when I've been weary. There have been times when I've been worn out. There have been times when the pressures have mounted. I didn't think I could go another mile. But the Lord showed up. And as a shepherd goes about the pasture and he forces the sheep down, the Lord has done that to me. David knew what it was like to do that as a shepherd, I imagine. Sometimes the sheep are weary. They've traveled long. They've walked long distances. But when they're in the field, all they hear are the sounds of the wolves, and all they hear are the sounds of the mountain lions. And so although they're completely worn out, they can't sleep because of fear. And the shepherd's got to go through the pasture and he's got to force them to the ground. He's got to make them lie down. I think David experienced that in his own way. That he was worn, he was tired, but he felt like his enemies were all around him. He felt like problems had surrounded him. And even though he was tired and worn out, he couldn't get any inner rest. Remember Abraham Lincoln, in the middle of the Civil War, he had been worn with the decisions and the shape that the military was in, and they had lost significant battles, and someone came up to him and saw his face, and it was a friend, and he said, Abe, you got to sleep. You got to rest. Abraham Lincoln said, it won't do any good. The kind of tired that I am is too deep within my spirit. A nap won't fix it. Life can be like that. You get tired, you get worn, you get defeated with the problems. You get sick and tired of being sick and tired. In fact, the medical industry will write about that tipping point. And you go to the doctor and the doctor says, we're going to do the surgery and just in a few weeks you'll be up, you'll be walking. But a few weeks come and you're not up walking. A few more weeks go on and you're not getting any better. And at some point, you become sick and tired of being sick and tired. You reach that point. I think David had reached that point, and he said, in those places in my life, the Lord in his way has come alongside of me, and he has given me rest. Sometimes he's had to force me down. And sometimes the Lord does that. Sometimes the Lord will put you in a hospital bed. It's not green grass, but it's a white bed with a white sheet. He can force you to rest. David said, the Lord has done that in my life. How else has the Lord helped you, David? He says, well, he leads me beside still waters. Sheep are wisely afraid of water. They're not a smart animal, but they're smart in regards to water. They have a coat of wool. They know if they fall in the water, it'll absorb the water and they'll sink like a rock. And sheep are instinctively, as I understand it, afraid of being near water. They're afraid of the rapids. And sometimes because of that, they don't get the refreshment that they need, because while the water is fast and they need to drink, they won't get near the water because they're afraid. But the shepherd comes along and he'll dam up a spot in the rapids and he'll make a place that's a calm, and he'll allow those sheep to drink from it. Again, David is saying that's a parable of my life. There have been times when I've been afraid to death. There have been times when I've needed something. I've needed to do something. I've wanted something. But out of fear, I couldn't reach out and take it. I've needed rest. I've needed relaxation. I've needed to be courageous. I've needed to lead. I've needed to get to the front of the battle. I've needed to do those kinds of things. But out of fear, I haven't done what I've needed to do. The Lord's come along, and He's calmed the waters in my life. Just been there, and I've been able to get the refreshment. I've been able to accomplish what I've needed to do because the Lord's been there. It says, not only has He made me to lie down in green pastures and led me beside still waters, the Bible says He's restored my soul. Restored me. David knew what it was like to be restored. I think that passage harkens back to that day when he sat on the roof of his house and looked out and saw a woman bathing and then proceeded to make the biggest mistake, commit the largest sin in his life. He sent servants to bring her, and the Bible simply says he slept with her. Sent her home. A baby was born from that union, and from that point on, David's life was never the same. But the Lord restored him. The Lord came to him. The Lord, in that sin and that great evil that David committed, even at that, the Lord showed mercy to him and restored him spiritually, gave the joy of his salvation back. God had done that for him. The shepherd restores the sheep sometimes in a very painful way. As I understand it, sometimes there'll be a sheep that wanders from the flock. And it's a dangerous thing for the sheep to wander from the flock. There's predators all around, and they all like to eat sheep. And a sheep out on its own is no match for the predators, but it keeps wandering away. And sometimes what a merciful shepherd will do is he'll take the sheep and he will break its leg, and then he'll put the leg in a splint. And it seems like an awful thing to do to the sheep, to inflict such pain upon it. But it's actually an act of mercy. It's a way of saving its life. Because he breaks his leg, he puts the leg in a splint, and then the sheep hobbles behind him. And it doesn't move fast, it moves pretty slowly, but it stays with the shepherd, it stays with its protector. And it's a merciful thing that he does, but he restores his sheep. David says, not only does he restore my soul, but he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Notice it's for his namesake. The reason that the Lord leads you in the right paths, and I think that's the translation, he leads me in the right paths, is for his namesake. In the ancient world, there were robbers, there were crooks, there were people who were out to make an easy dime. And one of the ways that they made an easy dime was that they made paths. There'd be a real road, that there would be a legitimate road, but robbers would come, they would make another road, they would change the road signs, and the road would lead to a place of ambush. Oftentimes, if there was an unwise shepherd, he would take the wrong path, the path made by folks out to steal the flock, and he would lose his whole flock. But David says, the Lord hadn't done that to me. The Lord has led me in the right paths. He knows the right way to go. And he does it for his name's sake. In the ancient world, if a shepherd lost his entire flock, it was an absolute embarrassment. He was tagged with a scarlet letter, so to speak, as a man who couldn't keep his flock. What David is saying of the Lord is that the Lord leads you in the right paths because he cares about his own reputation. It would be an embarrassment for the shepherd to lose his sheep, and it would be an embarrassment for the Lord to lose his sheep. So the Lord is concerned. He leads you in the right paths. So for his name's sake, he brings you safely to heaven for his own reputation. Now again, you can wonder. Notice again here, David is saying, the Lord provides rest. He provides needed refreshment. He has restored me when I have fallen. And he has led me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's an interesting picture, isn't it? Commentators wonder, what are you talking about, David, when you talk about the valley of the shadow of death? I mean, it's a picture, but it's a strange picture. What could that mean? Why would the shepherd, first of all, take his sheep through a valley that's surrounded by death? It doesn't make any sense for a shepherd to do something like that. And so why, what does it mean for the shepherd to lead them to the valley of the shadow of death? And there are people who understand Hebrew far better than someone like I would, who say that really the word in the Hebrew for valley means crevice, or it can mean a gully. It simply means a place between two higher spots. It's a very broad word. And so when we think about valley, we may think of a lovely valley flowing with green grass. But that the word valley here could be a very narrow passageway between mountains. And an interesting translation, there are scholars who say, and I think that they're right, that what David here is alluding to, is the practice of the shepherd to keep his flock in the lowlands in the spring, because that's where the grass comes in first. The grass is in the valleys, and that's where he keeps his flock. But the grass begins to get eaten in the valleys. And he's got to move his flock. Where does he move his flock? Well, he takes them up into the mountain areas where the grass is coming later in the year. And where the grass is growing fine. It's dead in the valley, but he's got to get them to the valley, to the new grass. But to get them there, he has to take them up the side of the mountain, the crevices, the valleys that wind up the mountain, where all the predators are, the snakes, the wolves, the lions. But he does that for their sake. And so the picture here, David is saying, is that as life has disappeared, or as life has lost its green grass in the valley, the Lord has taken me up the mountain to where the new green grass is. And that's a picture of what God is going to do for each of us, isn't it? I mean, if you think about it in terms of life, you can make comparisons, but isn't that what God plans to do in my life and in your life for those who follow him? He keeps us on the earth, in the valleys. But then the day comes when he calls us home and he takes us up the side of the mountain, which is death, to the pasture land on the top of the mountain. Takes us to our eternal reward. It's interesting here that he says, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. When I try to comfort people, I try to comfort them with words, and I always fail. If I'm trying to comfort you, I try to come along and tell you things are going to be okay. I try to comfort you with a pat on the back or a hug. That's the way I try to comfort you. But it's interesting that David says the way the Lord comforts is with his rod and his staff. And the rod was a defensive weapon. The rod was the stick with rocks or glass put into the end. It was a defensive weapon against predators. And the staff was the crooked stick where they could pull the sheep from an entanglement. And so the rod and the staff are in many ways representative of God's power. It's interesting that David says, the thing that comforts me from God is his power. It's his power. It's his strength that ultimately gives me comfort. When I'm in difficult places, I know that he can do what I can't do. I know that he is able. I know when he is weak, I am strong. And I don't get comforted by a hug and a kind word. But when I think about the power of God, that comforts me. And he says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Some people think that he has switched analogies, that he's talking about sheep, and now he's talking about a palace room in the king's house, a banquet room in the king's palace, pardon me. But I think that he's still talking about sheep. There's a sense in which the shepherd would come to a new field, and there have been commentators write about this as well, and they would have to go through the field, and they would have to deal with snakes. They would have to deal with things that were in the ground that, as the sheep were grazing, they would come out of the ground, they would come out of their holes and bite the sheep on the face and kill them, oftentimes immediately. And so that would be snakes and perhaps other kinds of predators that were below the ground. And one of the ways that the shepherd would deal with those predators is that he would go through the pasture before the sheep ever came in, and he would take oil. And where he saw holes, he would pour oil into the holes. One reason was because of the smell, which would repel the predators. But another way is that he would grease the holes, so if there were snakes, they couldn't come up because the grease in their skin didn't work well together. They couldn't get out of the holes. And it says that that's the translation you take. That's one of the ways that's going on. Now, another way that he mentions here, he says, you anoint my head with oil. And again, the oil would go into the holes, but oftentimes it would go onto the heads of the sheep as well, and it would repel those that would come against them. And so it was a way of preparing for them a pasture, even though they had predators even beneath the ground that they could not see. Verse 5, he says, my cup runs over. My cup runs over. A shepherd that didn't love his sheep, if he was going to cheat them, he would cheat them with water. There were wells that were about the ancient world. And the hardest thing for a shepherd was to water his sheep. He would have to put the bucket into the well. And as he pulled up the bucket, that bucket could be 50, 60 pounds at times. And there were troughs around the well, and he would have to, if he had a flock of roughly 100 sheep, it would take him 2 hours of putting that bucket in, pulling it up 50 pounds, 60 pounds at a time to water his sheep. And if he was going to cheat, if he was lazy, if there was any bone in him that didn't love the sheep, he would cheat at the water, because that was the hardest job he had, is to bring the water out of the well for his sheep. But David says, the Lord hadn't done that to me. My cup runs over. He hasn't cheated me. He hasn't got lazy on me. He hasn't quit on me. He's given me everything that I need. The trough runs over. I haven't been cheated by God. He's given me wonderful blessings. If he hadn't given them to me, us in this life, he has a multitude in the next life. He hasn't cheated me. Cup runs over. So he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a wonderful passage. And God's willing to do that for anybody. There's no respecter of person. The most important word in that psalm is in verse 1. It's a two-letter word. It's my. The Lord is willing to be your shepherd, but you have to come to him and say, will you be my shepherd? He's not a shepherd for everybody. He's only a shepherd for those who want to be a sheep. And so it takes a great amount of humility to come to the Lord, because you know what you have to do? If you want him to be your shepherd, you have to admit that you've been a sheep. And that's not a compliment. Sheep were known as the dumbest animals. They were known as the most helpless animals. They were known as the most wayward animals. They were prone to wander. They weren't rebellious in many ways, but they would follow one tuft of grass after another, and oftentimes they would look up after chasing one thing after another, and they found that they were lost. It was the stupidity of the sheep. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you're in a place where you've chased one thing after another. First it was a relationship, then it was a job, then it was a career, and you were raising kids, and then it was a hobby, and all those things are good in and of themselves, but they're tufts of grass. And maybe even today you're looking up and you're saying, I don't know where God is. I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm about. I don't know. I seem so far from God. It's not that you're an awful person, but you've been chasing good things and you haven't raised your head up and you haven't looked for your shepherd. God is willing to comfort us. He gives his children rest. He gives his children nourishment. He is willing to lead us in the right paths for his name's sake. He brings us through the valleys. He moves us from one pasture to the next so that we are constantly being nourished. He restores us. It can be painful, but he will do it for us. He prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. He doesn't cheat us. Our cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Maybe today again here, and I'm finished. Maybe you've wandered far away from the master. It's time to come home to the shepherd. Just time. He's been a shepherd, but he hasn't been your shepherd. And it's time to come home and humble yourself and say, I've been a foolish sheep. I've chased a lot of good things, but I haven't chased the ultimate thing. I haven't chased the right thing. I'm just coming home. Maybe today you're in need of rest. You're in need of strength. Your life feels like a desert. There's a dryness that's taken over your heart. Dryness that's taken over your mind. Your heart doesn't feel like it used to. People hurt around you, you don't hurt. It's like something inside of you is dying. And you need to come to the waters of your shepherd where the waters overflow. You need to be bathed again in his love, and you need to be reassured again that you belong to him. You need him to break up the fallow ground in your heart. Restore again the joy of your salvation. Maybe you're here today and the Lord is restoring you. It's been a bit painful. You just want to come and say, Lord, I know what you're doing in my life. You're correcting it. I am a sheep that is prone to wander. And you're working in my life and it's been painful. But thank you. Ultimately, you're going to keep me near to you. You're going to keep me safe. And I accept what you're doing in my life. You have a heavenly Father today. You have a shepherd. You have someone to run to. And if you want to run to somebody today, I'm going to have you to stand and I'm going to pray. You run to the shepherd today. May he be your shepherd. He's here for you. Let's stand. Father, you give abundantly. You give more than we deserve. You give more than we oftentimes know to ask. But for the person who's tired today, we pray that you will help them to lie down in green pastures. You may have to force them down, and they may have to let you force them. For the soul here today, for the person who isn't following the right paths, Lord, speak to them. Draw them near to you. Help them, Lord, to choose the right way. Help them, Lord, to follow the shepherd. Father, for the heart that is breaking today, you can overflow them. We've experienced peace that passes understanding. We've experienced comfort that we can't explain. And you can do it for them. We can testify even today that there have been times in our life when it seemed like everything was breaking loose around us, but you kept us under your wing. The storm was around us, but you kept us safely in your nest. You did it for me. You can do it for them. We pray that you would minister to your people today. And if there is anyone here who can't say, "The Lord is my shepherd," we pray that they would return to the fold softly and tenderly. You are calling them. Oh Lord, will you go to them? Will your Spirit speak to them? Will he draw them near? Will they come home? Find the goodness and mercy that follows us to all the days of our lives. Amen. Let's